God of new life, speak your word to us this day and empower us to inspire others in your name. Amen. This past week, I was in touch with one of my mentors as he celebrated his birthday. Jack was the dean of the Cathedral Church of St. Michael and All Angels in Kelowna, where I was ordained and spent the first 8.5 years of ministry. He was not in favor of the ordination of women. And yet somehow, by the grace of God, mutual respect, and hard work, we managed to become a great team and fast friends. I am now the age that Jack was then, when I crashed into his life as a bright, enthusiastic, know-it-all, fresh ordinand. And only now do I fully know and appreciate the patience that he had. Musical dramas, new liturgies, dunk tanks, inclusive language. I was always pushing Jack's boundaries. He was a quiet, introverted traditionalist who enjoyed high church sensibilities, genuflecting any chance he could get, chanting incense on holy days. And the cathedral at that time was quite a mix of traditions, with many young families and youth, all excitedly bouncing around with high energy, and I was right there in the middle of them all. So we combined sensibilities, and the celebration of St. Michael and All Angels, our feast day, became a festival in every sense of the word. And yes, it did include a dunk tank afterwards. But when Jack gave permission for a very large paper mache dragon head with a 25-foot-long brightly colored fabric tail head aloft by many children to feature in procession around the interior of the cathedral, I was more than astonished. And I must say, it was spectacular. We need spectacular astonishment in our lives. For when it is dark, when we face our dragons, curl up and become small and closed, these universal stories hold up a bigger picture for us. Michael and his angels defeating the dragon of Satan with his supporting angels and throwing them down from heaven evokes powerful imagery of a spectacular, enchanted world view. A kind of imagery rarely seen as popular in today's secular society, but still prized and encouraged in indigenous cultures here and around the world. These images and stories speak of things that touch and affect us all from generation to generation and are embedded with moral and practical teachings. They are not meant to be literal, but rather to engage our imagination and point us toward universal truth. They are meant to shore up our faith in something bigger than ourselves and remind us that we are part of the community of humanity. and they shine a divine beacon of hope and light into our despair. Today, we celebrate the sacrament of baptism, and Penelope and Tommy will become part, officially, of that Christian story. In calling them by name, splashing water on them three times, marking them with oil in the sign of the cross, giving them a candle, and welcoming them, these children step into something spectacular. For parents and sponsors claim the responsibility of nurturing and growing their faith by praying for them and witnessing to them. In renouncing Satan, the spiritual forces of wickedness, and evil powers which corrupt and destroy God's creatures, they align themselves with Saint Michael and all the angels in a cosmic yet particular battle. By proclaiming their reliance on and acceptance of Jesus, declaring their trust in him, and proclaiming their obedience to him, these parents and sponsors claim ownership of their faith and faith on behalf of their child. And as we all pray and join in the affirmation of our faith and its action, we hold these children, their parents, sponsors, in the arms of this community and ones like it all around the world. What an astonishing series of things to be doing this morning. For as we celebrate this rite, we stand firmly in our humanity with all of its messiness. And new parents certainly know what that's all about. And we open ourselves up to the possibility of God seeing us just as we are and speaking to and through us in ways that may indeed astonish us. In the gospel, we hear Jesus greet Nathanael, who is astonished when Jesus tells him that he is a man without deceit. How could Jesus know this when they had never met before? Jesus says, "Well, I saw you under the fig tree even before Nathanael, before you were called by Philip to be a disciple." Startled and astonished, Nathanael quickly acknowledges Jesus as a teacher, the Son of God, the King of Israel. I highly doubt that Nathanael held this truth deep down in his own soul at that point in time, but it was the right thing to say. And Jesus calls him out and says that Nathanael will see much greater things than Jesus knowing who he is, that he will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending to him. Now today, given that it's dark, maybe we will actually see angels ascending and descending. And if we are open, God will show us some spectacular things. For we are all called to be part of this story, held in the same plot line as Michael and all angels and all those who have walked before us by faith. And we have a responsibility to be witnesses, mentoring others through their astonishment of the power of God to accept us, to change us, and to bring us new life. All those years ago, Dean Jack was patient and wise in his mentorship of me, and even managed to keep his sense of humor. But he often reminded me, "You have much freedom to try creative things. Just remember that whether they succeed or whether they fail, they reflect on me as I hold the final responsibility." This, I believe, is also God's message to us. We have so much freedom to choose and to act. And those choices and actions reflect on the God that we follow. May we be astonished by God's spectacular story at work in our lives. May we have the courage to be open and creative. And may we be responsible in our sharing this life with others. Amen.